Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya on Lam Gimel and Beis. The Gemara is still tackling the same question that we've been dealing with for about the last 2 months. I mean, it's not fair that 6 weeks out of those 2 months of Geisha, but I'm saying, for a long, long time already, we've been dealing with the following dilemma that the Amoraim were clearly disturbed with. Namely, our Mishnah talks about the possibility of a Chiyuv Knas on women who, l'chora, carry with it a Chiyuv of... whatever. Okay, our Mishnah talks about the chiyuv of knas on women who the halacha l'chora requires malchus for as well. So the Mishnah starts rattling off a chaysa, a bala, a nida, bala, ishis, achiv, one after another after another. I mean, we've been talking about this Mishnah from the first day of Shia, back from August, Rabbi Say. We dealt with issues of kimle b'drami'ne, with Rabbi Choni ben Akonos, in a roila kont. I mean, these are stuff like from this like Chodesh Elul kind of stuff. But the Gemara is still working on the same basic question, namely, how can it be, how can the Mishnah, on the one hand, tell us there's a chiyuv of knas, yet the Mishnah, Maseches Malchus, tells us the same exact women you have Malchus for? Doesn't everybody know there's a cloud called the cool? Let's all say it together by saying, Eina loike mishalim. Everybody knows, Kedei Mishaso, Mishum Risha Achas at the Machayv, Aviyat the Machayv, Mishum Shtei Risha Yais, Eina loike mishalim. So how does our Mishnah and the Mishnah and Malchus, how could they both be true? That Yechai Malchus and Yechai Mammon, if on the same hand we say, ain't alike in Mishalim. So Ula had his pshat, and Rav Yechim had his pshat, and we spent a lot of time on those pshat earlier. Comes Reish Lachish and gives his introduction. It is thanks to Reish Lachish's pshat, his attempted pshat of this seemingly stirred Mishnayas, how to resolve the ain't alike in Mishalim dilemma. It is thanks to Reish Lachish that I think we could say pretty much we're home free till at least Purim time. Because everything the Gemara is going to talk about for the next amud and a half is all revolving about the pros and cons of Reish Lakish. Then the Gemara gets sidetracked on other things, related things, not related things, you name it. And this is going to, Reish Lakish is a kimta. It's going to take us for the next, I'd say, approximately 10 sukkahs or so. All right? So we have our work cut out for us. What did he say? What exactly did Reish Lakish say? Here comes Reish Lakish on Lam Gimel Beis. To that, Reish Lakish Omer, Hamani Rabbi Meiri. Reish Lakish has a very, very easy answer. You don't have to try to explain away that it's to deal with the Chachamim Shita, that Shita of Eid Aloch HaMishalim. It's much easier, Pshat, says Reish Lakish, that Hamani Rabbi Meiri, our Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Meir, the Omer Lom Be'ol Lake HaMishalim. Everybody knows Rabbi Meir holds this way. How do we know Rabbi Meir holds this way? What's the source that Rabbi Meir is the Tan who holds Adam Lake HaMishalim? Who has the Mishnah, famous Mishnah? It's so famous. Marcus Dafa, Dalam Dalam. Nobody went to daycare. That's the problem. For the new guys, the old guys will explain it to you. For the old guys, just bear with me. So Dalam Dalam, the Mishnah Maseches Malchus tells us that Rabbi Meir is the Tana who doesn't subscribe to the view of Ein Aleikim Mishalim. So Kumfish Lokeshim says, instead of standing on your head and trying to give an Okimta, Hakam Haskin, there is Asra, there's no Asra, Yerim Asra, okay? All the Okimtas that Ulan Rabbi Yechim would drain us with for so long, Kumfish Lokeshim, and he says the simplest answer is, Hamani Rabbi Meir, our Mishnah Taka Ishalaik Yalacha. That would be a pretty big letdown. It's already the end of January, and Reish Lakish just told us that our Mishnah Shalaik Yalacha, the Mishnah that says that, you have a knas for this one, for that one, the other one, it's all not true because we passed it in Alaikim Mishalim. But our Mishnah at least would be saved, would be salvaged. Hamani Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, really? The Chi Tema. I'm sorry, the Gemara is Sakash. I'm sorry, Ihochi. Yes, the Gemara. If it's Rabbi Meir, I Rabbi Meir, afilu bitonai. If it's Rabbi Meir who denies the principle of Ein Aleichem Mishalim, then presumably Rabbi Meir also denies what other principle? This, I can't even say this with a straight face because I don't know what to do with myself after the whole semester, last semester. Maybe Rabbi Meir holds what? There's no such thing as I can't say it, but we have to say it anyway. Help me, help me. He denies Kimle Bidramine. Because after all, if Rabbi Meir denies Ein Aleichem Mishalim, so he holds you can get 200, you can get Malchus and Mammon, and that's fine in the worldview of Rabbi Meir. So then Kimle B'Drahmane is not that far behind. So Rabbi Meir maybe denies Kimle B'Drahmane also. So the Gemara entertains that with some degree of reality, that maybe in a Hanami, maybe Rabbi Meir Taka disagrees on the whole sugya of Kimle B'Drahmane. Where was Rabbi Meir the first semester? I don't know, got it incomplete, he wasn't here. According to Rabbi Meir, there was no first semester. We spent the whole semester learning a sugya, it doesn't exist. So the Gemara says, really, if it's Rabbi Meir, so then just as Rabbi Meir holds Leike Mishalim, Rabbi Meir should hold Mesa Mishalim also. And that's an impossibility. Because I feel a bit anami, because there's a Mishnah later on in Ksubis, we're never going to get anywhere near that Mishnah, but there's a Mishnah later on in Ksubis that says that
Habal bitay, if a person is ma'anes his daughter, a person is ma'anes a woman who there's a chi of misas based in on, what does the Mishnah say? Habal alachaysay, there's a chi of knas. Habal bitay, what's the din? There's no knas. Why? Because of kilav drabine. So you see clearly, misas, so you see clearly that our Mishnayas and Ksubas do subscribe to kilav drabine. So you cannot commit our Mishnah to Rabbi Meir. You want to salvage Rabbi Meir, our Mishnah, make it according to Rabbi Meir. You are guilty of bad pun coming up, guys. But you are guilty of what? Of overkill. Okay? At least they warned you. You're guilty of overkill. Because if you want the Mishnah to be Rabbi Meir, then the end of the Mishnah, Abal Bitoy, has to subscribe to Rabbi Meir also. And Rabbi Meir L'chayr would deny kill Rabbi Duramine. So Gemara says, well, maybe no. Maybe we can have a cake and eat it. Maybe we could say the following. That would solve Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish could still be okay, because Rish Lakish could tell you a story that, you know, the Mishnayos were Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir denies the principle of Eina Loike Mishalim, but he doesn't deny Kim and Rami. That's like kfira, to deny Kim and Rami. What do you do with the first of course Rabbi Meir buys him to Kim and Rami. So the Gemara is walking a tightrope here. The Gemara is trying so hard. You got to sweat it out with the Amaroyim here. You have to see what's bothering them. The Amaroyim, we're trying to be Miyashiv the Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir, and we have to go up with the Zachiluk that Rabbi Meir denies Eina Loike Mishalim, but he still subscribes to Kim and Rami. So the Gemara says that's the only way to salvage Rish Lakish. So the Gemara says, really? It's not true. Because we have a Raya Brura that Rabbi Meir denies Kimmel Dramini. A Raya Brura. What's the Raya Brura? Braisa, Fersha Braisa. The Hatanya. Gona Vitavach B'Shabbos. Gona Vitavach Laveris Kichavim. These are two examples of cases where a guy, he stole an animal, and now he's shechting it. So he's potentially Chayv and Dal Behei. And lo and behold, he does it in such a way that he's Mechal Shabbos in the process. He shechs it on Shabbos. He shechs it to an idol. The guy's a real Babasha Russia through and through. Not only is he a Ghana, but he's a bit of an Azara. Not only is he a Ghana, he's a Mechal Shabbos. So what do we say about such a person? So lo and behold, Rabbi Meir says, Mishalom, Tashlum Rebbe Chamisha. He has to pay Dal Behei. Divi Rabbi Meir. Aye, but he's Chayav Nisus based in. What do you see from here? Zeman Fandor, the Rabbi Meir denies Kimim Dramine. And, not surprised, the Chum patron. And the Chum says part because the Chum subscribed to Kimlev Draminei. So this Braisa spells trouble for us. Why? Because according to this Braisa, it seems very clear what the Machlekes remain there about and is in this Braisa. It doesn't seem to be any other way to learn Shah the Braisa. Gainev, Gonav, Vitovach, Bishabes, or Gonav, Vitovach, Levedizara. So we have a Machlekes, Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim. Remeir says Chayiv, Rabbanan say Patur. The only way to explain this is the Rabbanan subscribed to Kimlev Draminei, and Rabbi Meir never heard of Kimlev Draminei. That seems to be what the Braisa is saying. That's the simple pshat in the Braisa. If that's the pshat in the Braisa, that does not bode well for Reish Lakish, because that means that Rabbi Meir denies Kimlev Draminei. If Rabbi Meir denies Kimlev Draminei, and you want to. If you want to make the Mishnah in the beginning of Ilan Iris being Rabbi Meir, in order to explain away how is your Chi of Knas Balach, I say, then you're going to be in running into a brick wall because there should have been a Chi of Knas Bal Bito as well. So this Braisa does not bode well for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was fully aware of this Braisa, and he said, you totally, completely misunderstood Pshat in this Braisa. This Braisa has absolutely nothing to do with Kimon Dramini. Kimon Dramini is not the issue here. Rabbi Meir would never, ever, ever deny Kimon Dramini. Nobody would ever deny Kimon. It is impossible to deny Kimon Dramini. You can't. So what's Pshat in the Braisa? So Reish Lakish tells you, let me tell you the emes of Pshat in this Braisa. This is a very, very disturbing Braisa. Go to Betoch for Shabbos, go to Betoch for Vedizara, remember Chayav Rabbanan Peltrim. The simple Pshat in the Braisa is the fighting about Kimon Dramini. Comes Reish Lakish and says, that is not correct. This whole thing is, that is not the Pshat in the Braisa. What is Pshat in the Braisa? So comes Reish Lakish and says, I have the following Braisa, the following Pshat. Ha'itmar Allah. Amr Rabbi Yaakov, Amr Rabbi Yechanan. Ve'amri La, Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Abin, Rabbi Law, V'chol Chavarasa, Mishmei Rabbi Yechanan. Everybody. The whole base matters from A to Z. Everybody agreed to the following Pshat. Amr Rabbi Teveach Ha'idei Acher. We have the whole Pshat in the Braisa wrong. You thought that this Braisa was related to Kimon Dramini, you got it all wrong. You know why? Gona v'tavach b'Shabbos, gona v'tavach l'Avedizara, who is doing the Shechita? Not the Ganav himself. The Ganav appointed a Shaliach to do the shechita on his behalf. Hocha b'mayis, it's an okim to pshah in the braisa, because the braisa is impossible to read the way it sounds. Rabbi Meir Chayav, that doesn't make any sense in the world. What happened to Kimmel Yudramine? Nobody denies Kimmel Yudramine. It's impossible. It's kfira. You can't deny, I mean, not really, but you can't deny Kimmel Yudramine. So the correct pshah in the braisa is you have to add a piece of information. Hayadei shaliach, that's the key. And therefore, once you have a shaliach doing the actual shechita, then what? Then we no longer have a what? No longer have an issue of Kibbutz Ramine. Kibbutz Ramine doesn't play a role anymore. I'm chayav mamon. You're chayav misa. I'm chayav mamon. You're chayav misa. What does that have to do with Kibbutz Ramine? I'm not chayav misa. I didn't shech the Shabbos. I didn't shech the Avodah Zarah. So I'm not chayav misa altogether. So now the braisa reads like a charm. Really? The braisa reads like a charm? It's a terrible charm. What's the problem with the braisa? If Hochab Mayaskina, once you introduce it's Ayadei Shaliach, what's your big problem? Don't tell me the problem I'm about to ask in the Gemara. What's the big problem? Just reading the Brice. You know nothing about anything. You never learned Kedushim Mem Aleph or Kedushim Mem Beis. You never heard of Shalichas Ledvarveri. You never heard of it. I just told you, I went to the Yeshiva Rabbi Yechanan, the Chol Chavarasa, the entire Yeshiva, every time they answered the same question on the Bechina. The question was, what's Pshah in this Brice? Everyone gave the same Teretz. Hochab Mayaskina Ayadei Shaliach. That's where Rabbi Meir Kezok to Yechaya. Well, what's the problem? Mom, what's the problem? Just the price. The price itself. You're everything you write, but that's not what I want. I only want what I want. What? Why do you want to say you bought them? This is an absolute terrible pun. Again, Rabbi said, this is a total, complete violation of total overkill. Completely, you gave such a great shot in the price. It's so good that it's terrible. It's such a great pshat to defend Rabbi Meir, the Hocham HaEskira de Shaliach, therefore there's no Kibbutz Ramine, the Chachamim are terrible. So what do you put the for? So the only way to ever make any sense out of this, so keep it again, this is not just one lone person came up with this grandiose dream that that's what the Brice is talking about. The Chol Chavar Asam, the entire base medrash, from A to Z, everybody learned pshat this Brice this way. Just about everybody, we'll see as this unravels. So this Brice is going to become very, very problematic. Because once you tell me that, once you introduce Shaliach, and you must introduce Shaliach, because the only way to make any sense of Rabbi Meir is introduce the fact of Shaliach, then we're back to square one. So why does the Chacham say Yipotah? So it's going to be that question that's going to lead to, hey, wait a second, am I Patre Rabbanon? That's going to lead to who knows what? What's that going to lead to? That eight sugyas. Okay? The next daf in the Gemara is going to try to solve that dilemma. Once you say it's a shliach, then you have a lot of work to do in the shittas of Chachamim, and the Gemara is going to do all the work, and we have a lot to talk about. So we just barely scratched the surface of Dal Vehei. I can't even say we scratched. We didn't even start. We didn't even open up the page yet. But hopefully, Me'at Hashem, over the next few weeks and sugyas, we're going to hopefully find out a lot more about the chiyuv of Dal Vehei and Shabbos, a lot more about Sheichet B'Shabbos, a lot more about Sheichet Avodah Zarah. Shochet Shohanisko got thrown in there for good luck. There are a lot of things that have to be explained away to understand what the Shittas Chacham is all about. Because this Okimta, it's great for Rabbi Meir, but it's terrible for the Rabban. So Rabbi Yisrael, we're not talking about that today. Okay, that's not today's Shia. What is today's Shia? Today's Shia is just the Okimta itself. Not all the potential problems that the Okimta is going to create, just the answer itself. And again, this is all to defend Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish is trying to save Shadar HaMishnayis. We have a steered Mishnah scheme. We have to make context. You have to always remember context. Sometimes when people learn, they get so bogged down with the Nakuda that they're up to, that if you stop them and ask them, how did you get to that point? Why are we talking about this topic? We're learning Suba, Staf, Lama, Gimel. Why are we talking about Sheikhet, Toveach, Ayadei, Shaliach? How did you get there? So you have to always remember, you know, it's Lahav, like when you're going out of battle, you have to keep your supply lines, you know, have to be strong. Very often people make that mistake. They go into battle and their supply lines aren't strong. So the enemy comes and breaks up and there's no tziruf. Then I have no idea where I came from. So to over here, a guy goes out on a limb and he's learning this sugya, and he has no clue how he got here. So you have to always constantly review. We do this all the time. You have to review, how did we get here? Because we have this braisa. And the braisa, for some reason, we had to stick in shaliach, because the only way to make the braisa make any sense, according to Rabbi Meir, we had to come up with the okimta shaliach. And how did we get this braisa in the first place? Because this braisa was the pivotal discussion about does Rabbi Meir accept Kibbutz Ramine or deny Kibbutz Ramine. And how did we come onto that at 1:30 on a Thursday afternoon? Because Reish Lakish's whole pshat hinged on that nekuda. If Rabbi Meir denies Kibbutz Ramine, then Reish Lakish's pshat is out of business. If Rabbi Meir accepts Kibbutz Ramine, then Reish Lakish is back in business. So everything is hinging upon this new Kimta of Shaliach. So the Gemara says, really? This is going to have a lot of problems because it's going to create havoc for the Chachamim, but we're not up to that havoc yet. That'll start next week. We want to focus on one thing, the Gemara says. You just gave me the Kimta Hokamas Gede Shaliach. All markers go down on that one. Every referee is throwing down a penalty marker on that one. Why? Because the Gemara asked the following question. What? How can you, even with a straight face, begin to discuss a chiyuv of Dalet Vehei if you didn't shecht? You sent the shaliach to shecht? So you're telling me a story that the shaliach chayav misa for Chilul Shabbos, the shaliach chayav misa for Avodah Zarah, and you, the ganav, was sitting in your house. You're sitting and eating your chulid, and you're singing Yom Zeh Mechubad, and the guy's out to shecht in the animal that you stole, that you told him to shecht. So here's the cheshbon. The shaliach is chayav skila, and you're chayav mamon? What am I chayav mamon for? Based on what? V'chizeh chaytev is a mischayev. Has anyone in their right mind ever heard of such a thing? V'chizeh chaytev is a mischayev. How could the shaliach be the chaytev and I be mischayev? Now, if I was writing the Gemara, I probably would have used a different phraseology to formulate that question. It would have been more familiar to people. They would have seen it. They would have felt more at home. But the Gemara, for some reason, didn't use it. What was the more familiar terminology the Gemara should have used, or could have used? Hey, ain't shaliach d'var aveira. It means the same thing. It's just because we learned Kedusha B'mal from base, because we're very smart, so we know about Shalichas already. We learned Bav Metzia with Shir a couple of years ago, so we know a little bit about Shalichas D'var Aveira. We think we knew. We hope we know. We're going to test you whether you know or not. So we think we know that term. So here the Gemara uses a parallel phrase, but it pretty much conjures up the same image. Yes, the Gemara, Ein Shalichas D'var Aveira. Chizechet Yuzem Mischayev. So the whole case is wrong. We got a lot of X's on this board. You want to tell me, that's going to salvage Rabbi Meir, that's going to solve this price, that's going to put us back in business. That is working with a tremendous, tremendous problem. Because what happened to Ein Shaliach D'var Aveira? What happened to Chizeh Chayit Uzeh Mischayev? That is the beginning of today's sugya. So it took us 20 minutes to get there. Supply lines are strong. We know exactly how we got here. Now we have to figure out, now that we're here, what are we supposed to do about it? So comes the Gemara and says, this is a kasha. You get so worked up about this kasha. You're so bothered about this kasha. Ein shaliach d'var aveira, gevalt kishrigin. You're so bothered with the Gemara. Says, yesh, man, come on. Everybody knows. This is an exception to the rule. This is one of those few cases where ein shaliach d'var aveira. And the Gemara goes on to rattle off three different makaris in Chumash. How do you know that this is an exception to the rule? Tachas says this, and this, and this, and that. Oh, the rabbi says shaliach. You know, three possible. You pick your mach, whichever one you like. Three makaris in the Gemara to tell me that Cain, we are back in business, Rabbi Sai. Okay, again. Yes, shlichus. So Gzeres HaKos of three possibilities. Yes, shlichus. Ad kan de vigvon. So we got the Shach Matar of the Gemara. Okay. Let's take a step back, Rabbi Sai. Before the Gemara discovered these Gzeres HaKosov, the multiple three Gzeres HaKosovs for Yesh Luchat Vavera, in this particular case of Dalet Vehei, the starting point of the Gemara was astonishment. The Amoraim were disturbed, to say the least. The Gemara couldn't fathom that there should be Shlichus here, because Chizeh Chaytev Zeh Mischayev, Chiyesh Luchat Vavera, okay, it's true, you know, we were saved by the bell, we found the Gzeres HaKosov, we dug deep enough, we found the Gzeres HaKosov. It's very nice, shkorech. But lule the Gzeres HaKosov, we have to go into the eyes, into the minds of the Amoraim, who were disturbed, greatly disturbed, by the institution of Shlichus playing out in this sugya, because after all, Ein Shaliach D'var Aveira. Comes Tosfos, and starts to discuss. Tosfos is not here. Where's the Tosfos? Bava Kama Defiant Tess, lesser degree Kedushin Mem Beis. Comes Tosfos Bava Kama Defiant Tess and says, wait a second. If I was sitting in the Beis Medrash of Ravina and Rav Ashi, when somebody tried to pull off the stunt and say, how come I stay there, Shaliach, I wouldn't have been so disturbed, says Tosfos. You know why? Because that klal of Ein Shaliach D'var Aveira is not as inclusive as you think it is. From the Gemara, it's clear that if not for the fact that we discovered Gzeres HaKosov, Ein Shaliach D'var Aveira would have played out here as well. Comes Tosfos and says, it's not true. I'm going to show you from our knowledge of Shas a little perusal to Rishas, that ain't Shluchas Rabbeinu is not as cracked up, it's not as good as it's really people think it is. It's not so great in Shluchas Rabbeinu. I'm going to show you there are exceptions to Shluchas Rabbeinu without Gezeiras HaKosov, and it's quite possible that once we get a deeper, better understanding of the rule of Shluchas Rabbeinu and the limitations of the rule of Shluchas Rabbeinu, then we may be wondering why Chazal were wondering. Why did Chazal get so agitated over the Yukimt of Shliach? Because after all, Shluchas Rabbeinu, not so simple, says Taisus. The Yukimt is really pretty good. The astonishment of Chazal is a little bit exaggerated. But Taisus says we have to fill in the gaps now to understand. So we have to close the Gemara Subas, not literally, figuratively, and learn a Sugya of a Kam Defiant Test, and understand where Taisus is coming from. And see how the Bali HaTesis read Ksubas Daf Lamed Gimel. We said many times, the Bali HaTesis, many times in the Rebbe, were learning Ksubas Daf Lamed Gimel, they were looking at it through the eyes of Kol HaTorah Kula, this particular case, through the eyes of Bava Kama Defayim. You have to learn a Sugya in Bava Kama Defayim. It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah, Baruch Hashem, we happen to have learned before, albeit for different dimensions, different aspects of the Sugya. Famous Mishnah, Bava Kama Defayim. Who remembers the Mishnah? Who remembers the Mishnah? Who's got a Mishnah for me? So the Mishnah, not surprising, is talking about the Chiv of Dal V'Hei, in Perek Merubah. So the Mishnah highlights the fact that a Ganav is only Chayav for Onsin, it's usually Ganav is Chayav and Onsin, not only if he stole something, but he has to also do what? What's critical? What does he have to do in order to be Chayav Einstein? Who remembers from this Mishnah from earlier on? Last semester. He has to make a what? A Kinyan Geneva. If he wasn't kind of in a Kinyan Geneva, the fact that he just happened to have taken something from somebody doesn't make him Chayav. Therefore, the Mishnah highlights that what if I go into your backyard and I start to walk away with your animal and say, Hinani Mucham Zubin L'Shem Geneva. I'm stealing it, I'm pulling it, and then lightning strikes the animal and dies. Am I Chayav? Why am I not Chayav? And do a kinyan. I did Mashiach. What's the answer? Mashiach is not koyin. The Rishus Abayim. Okay. Everyone remember? Ksuba stuff. Lamed Aleph. Remember? Okay. Don't have Kispe Shabbos vaguely. Okay. Good. So the Mishnah highlights this. In contrast, the Mishnah says, "What if I picked it up? What if I did a hagbah on the animal, and then the animal gets hit by lightning? What's the din? Then I'm chayav because I made a kinyan. Okay." That's the theme in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is pretty straightforward. Gana vishes abayel b'tavach machutz shizah. Whole story. Fine. Okay. Good. Very nice. Then at the end of the Mishnah starts talking about something else. Case number two. Nasta lebecheres bino olabal chayv l'shemechinam l'shal l'nasisach l'seicher v'yamayshchu meis b'shes abayelim potter v'yibiyoshetzim b'shes abayelim meis chayv. The Mishnah is obviously continuing the theme of the first half of the Mishnah and begins to talk about Pidyon HaBen, a very nice topic. We always like Pidyon HaBen sugyas, always feel at home with that. The Mishnah starts talking about a din of Shomrim, a din of returning Chov, and the Mishnah uses the same Pizman. If the person goes into the... He's given the Pidyon HaBen, let me give the case of Pidyon HaBen, this week's parasha. He's given the Pidyon HaBen, he's given the sheep, he's given the cow, he's given the animal to the Kohen Al Pidyon HaBen. So if there was a Kinyan, then the halacha is X, Y, and Z. And if there was no Kinyan, then the halacha is A, B, C. So it's almost the same as the first half of the Mishnah. What's the connection between the two cases? What's going on? So Rashi in the spot quotes two different shot. So one shot Rashi quotes is that the second half of the Mishnah is not talking about Geneva anymore. We're talking about a nice guy. We're talking about he's doing a pidyon. He's not a ganav. He's a father. His wife had a baby boy a month ago. He's ready to do a pidyon HaBen. And all of a sudden he realizes, hey, Gevalt, I got to do a pidyon HaBen quick. So he says to the kohen, listen, do me a favor. Go to my backyard and go take an animal for pidyon HaBen. It's worth 5 shkolim. I don't have to give you silver. I give you an animal. It's worth 5 shkolim. I'm telling you the sheep's worth more than 5 shkolim. Go take the pidyon HaBen. Pick it up. And have in mind, you'll be zeich hazayin on the animal for pidyon HaBen and shalom Yisrael. So the Kohen goes like he's supposed to do. He goes to the father's backyard. He starts taking the animal. He starts dragging the animal. And the animal gets hit by lightning. Was the mitzvah pidyon HaBen fulfilled or not? What does the Mishnah say? According to Rashi's Pshat? The mitzvah was not fulfilled. Why? Because the Kohen wasn't what? Wasn't koinah yet. So Kozman, the Kohen wasn't koinah. So he didn't do pidyon HaBen. So the father is to chayv yachrayah. So the father is to give another sheep. But if the Kayin picked it up already, then he was already Zoicha, and now the sheep gets hit by lightning. Who takes the loss on that one? The Kayin has to take the loss. It's over, finished. So that's the pshat of the Mishnah. That the Mishnah is trying to parallel. The Mishnah is trying to highlight and saying, just as in Ruchas Geneva, we have a distinction between, was there a Maisa Kinyan? When there's a Maisa Kinyan was done, so then the Ganav becomes Zoicha on it with all the halachas thereof. So too, in Pidgin Aben, the Kohen becomes Zoicha with all the parallel halachas. So that's the theme of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is pointing out the same distinction, that there's a difference between whether he did Meshicha, which is not kind of Bishus HaMoicher, in contrast to Agbo, which is kind of Bechol Mokhon. That's the Pshat in the Mishnah. That's Rashi's first Pshat in the Mishnah. One of the Pshat in the Mishnah. What's the problem with this Pshat? This Pshat falls flat for two reasons. Textual reasons. Not halacha. The halacha is true. What I just said is emes lamito. Nobody would argue what I just said. This pshat, that this is a correct halacha is true. That this is the correct pshat in the Mishnah is highly questionable. Why? The lashon of the Mishnah is very bizarre because the Mishnah uses a lashon of what? Chayev and Potter. Those are not the words you would usually associate with Pidgin Aben. The correct words to use would be what? Yotza, lo yotza, something like that. What's another problem? Is that we're not learning Becheiris right now. We're learning B'Vakam Adafayin Tes. This Mishnah belongs in Becheiris, in the 8th Perek, in Hilchos Pidgin Aben. The Mishnah put it in just Erech Agav. Well, you think the Tanoim and Amorim just learned things Erech Agav? Come on, that never happened, right? So this shot is textually difficult. Halachically, it's correct. The din is harder. Nobody will argue. This din will make it into Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Pidgin Aben. It's Mishnah Hein Yerdeya. Whether it's a shot, the Mishnah is highly questionable. So because of these technical problems, Rashi offers a second pshat. What's the second pshat? They were sticking to Geneva. We're talking about Geneva. The whole sugya is, it's a Perek Maruba, so we're talking about Geneva. It's not 8th Perek of Becheris. It's not Pidgin Aben. This is Geneva. It's a little bit of a different nuance of a case. In the first half of the Mishnah, I go into the backyard of the other person, and I go and attempt to steal his animal, and that's what the Mishnah says. Did I successfully steal or not successfully steal? Did I make a kinyan or not? That's the first half of the Mishnah. The second half of the Mishnah says, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to steal the animal myself, but I got a plan. What's my plan? It happens to be the 31st day since my wife had a baby. So I have to be out to the bits of Pidgin Aben right now. I know it right now, but I'm not interested in, I don't want to be, you know, not do Pidgin Aben. After all, you know, it's a religious thing. I got to do it. I got to do Pidgin Aben, right? So I have everyone came to the party. You know, we got garlic and the sugar and everything. The baby's on the tray. I mean, everyone's already for Pidgin Aben. But I'm not personally interested in taking five shekels out of my pocket. So very simple. So I go to the Kohen and I say, Mr. Kohen, listen, I have this gevaldik animal worth five shekels. You take that for Pidgin Aben. It's right around the corner. It's in Reuven's backyard. My animal's sitting in Reuven's backyard right now. Go take it. Yeah. What did I tell Mr. Cohn? I told him what? It was my animal. Whose animal is it? There's a reason why it's sitting in Reuven's backyard. Because it's Reuven's animal. So what did I do? I just got the Cohen to be my what? Shaliach for Geneva. Sounds like a drama. Some police show or something playing out of here, right? So I'm sitting here and singing Urei Vanav Venecha Shalma Yisrael. You know, I'm singing Simchat Torah Mazel Tov, and I got the Kohen to do my dirty work for me. I said, Kohen, Mr. Kohen, no one's going to suspect him. He's very religious. He's got a long white beard. He's going in there. He's wearing big day kahuna. No one's going to think he's the Ghana. He's the guy. So this is a conspiracy that the second shot of the Mishnah is telling us, Rashi is saying. I told the Kohen to go steal something. Obviously, he didn't tell him it was stolen. And that's going to be our Pidgin Aben. So, come to Mishnah and says the same pizman. Did I become Chayev or not? So, it depends. If the Kohen actually succeeded in being Kohen, he made a kid in Hagbah, so he was Zeichazayin, not Zakidyin. So, he Gloy Milsa, that Geneva took place. Who's Chayev? Who's Chayev, everybody say? Who's Chayev? Not the poor Kohen. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't know what was going on. Who's Chayev? The rotten father, right? The guy who thinks he's being so frum not to go steal himself, he becomes chayev. If the Kohen didn't succeed in pulling off the kid in Geneva, the Kohen was a klutz. He didn't do the Hagbah, he just did a Meshicha, and now the animal gets hit by lightning. So then, tough luck, then the Reuven loses his animal because nobody was Zoicha on it. So what the Mishnah says, according to the second Mishnah in Rashi, it's just the same as the first. It's just that applying that principle, that kinyan geneva is so critical. Not only is kinyan geneva critical when the galav himself is stealing, but even hacham la'eskidu that the geneva is taking place in a shaliach, also kinyan geneva is critical as well. That's the theme of the Mishnah. It's a great pshat. It's textually a gevalik pshat. That explains why it's here, because it's really a geneva issue. And the words chayav and potter really make a lot of sense. So we have a lot of milas textually over the first pshat. But we have a really, really bomb kasha. We have a very serious conceptual problem with this pshat. What's the conceptual pshat? What's the conceptual problem? What in the world is the Mishnah talking about? I'm chayav. I'm the father. I told Mr. Cohen to go steal the iron. I'm chayav. To quote Chazal in Ksuba Staf Lam Gimel, the chizeh chayitav zem is chayav. Ein shluchat v'aveira. How can it be? So Taisus learned this pshat, because Taisus thought the first pshat in Rashi was just impossible textually. So Taisus thought that the second pshat is the correct pshat. So Taisus was willing to work on the conceptual to save it, to save the textual. So Taisus says, what happened to Ein shluchat v'aveira? Says Taisus, Zeman Fundo, that sometimes Yei shluchat v'aveira. Sometimes, every once in a while, Yei shluchat v'aveira. And this is one of those every once in a whiles. And what is the factor? What is going on behind the scenes in Bava Kamma Hintes? Why is Bava Kamma Hintes an example of Yei shluchat v'aveira? Says Taisus, one simple factor. What is it, Rabbi say? What changed in Bava Kamma Hintes? The shliach is what? Is a shaygig. He doesn't know what's flying. The shliach is a shaygig. He doesn't know what's flying. Almost. It's a great thesis, right? He solved the world's problems. He got a Mishnah and Bava Kamma to find tests under control. He came up with the Hocham Mayaskidim. The shliach is a shaygig. It's great. Except for what? We read this thesis, we have to ask ourselves, what do you have to ask yourself to read this thesis? You have to have an unbelievable amount of munus chacham just to take this thesis at face value. Because you have to ask yourself, we want to encourage you to have a Musa Chabim, but we want you to ask kashas also. No? What's the kasha? Why? Like, why in the world should that make any difference in the world? Why is that a factor? As we've said so many times in learning and in life, very often we're able to identify different factors. We're able to identify, oh, this is true because this factor is present. It has to make sense. So the fact that the shlich is a shaygig, what does it make a difference? If I would tell you, no, Bava Kamma is different, I intest. You know why Bava Kamma is different? Because the shlich is wearing a green shirt. So I'm not insulting anyone wearing a green shirt right now, okay? The shlich is wearing a green shirt. So that's why there's a shlich at Vavera. So you'd say, you're crazy. Your mamish off your racha. What does the fact that the shlich wearing a green shirt do with anything? So just to say that Hachamai is keeping the shlich is a shaygig, you have to explain away what's going on. So Taisus continues to explain away to you. Taisus says to you like this. You know, it makes sense, Tacha, that the shliach being a shaygig really should change the whole dynamics of this sugi of yeshlach t'vavir. I'll tell you why. Says Taisus, because you have to really ask yourself the original question. You know, we're working a little bit backwards in the sugi. We're looking for exceptions to the rule of yeshlach t'vavir. We haven't even concretized the rule itself. We don't really understand why yeshlach t'vavir. Shlichus makes a lot of sense, right? Why is Einshlichat Vavera? So maybe if we understood why Einshlichat Vavera, then we could begin to understand why the Shliach being a Shagig should make any difference in the world. Again, our ultimate goal is always to get back to Ksuba Saflam again, but we got a long way to go. So we're now focused, now we're zeroing in on Taisus Chiddush and Bava Kamma Defined Test, that Hocham Ha'eskin the Shliach is a Shagig, and the Shliach is a Shagig is Yeshlichat Vavera. So we have to go 10 steps back and ask ourselves, why was there no Shliach Vavera in the first place? So I'm going to ask you a question, I'm going to throw out a question to you. Some of the old timers heard this story before. I'm going to throw out a question for you. And I was attacked with this question. I was confronted with this question as a 13-year-old. I'll tell you exactly where it was. I was walking. I just got off the bus. I was walking to school. And somebody confronted me with the following question. See, the real guys with the good memories and sheer trivia. Who remembers the question? I'll tell you who the person was. Rabbi Yitzchak Adler. Rabbi Yitzchak Adler was? Mechaber Sefer of what? No one knows? Ian Belumdis? Lumdis. He wrote the book on Lumdis. Ian Belumdis. He was my Rebbe. I was in eighth grade. I wasn't really in eighth grade. That's what made it count. I was really in high school. But I was really it was a long story. Maybe the Shesh Shabbatah will tell you that one, okay? You don't even want to know. Okay. Maybe you do, but it's one of the, when the lights go out, I'm sure. You know, it's one of the late night ones. Okay. It's like after my wife finishes the dating panel, then we go into Arsalovsky's lifetime saga. So Rabbi Say, it's a full weekend. Sign up quickly, okay? You have a discount. Is there a discount? Does it cost anything? Okay. It's hard to discount. We'll pay you to come. Okay. So Rabbi Say. So I was walking off the bus, and Rabbi Adler walks off the bus with me. And we were learning Perek HaShoyal that year. And the Sugya Shlichus begins to come up a little bit in the beginning of the 8th Perek HaBar Mitzvah, Perek HaShoyal. He says to me like this, a 13-year-old kid, he says to me like this, he says, you know, we learned a little bit about Shluch Shalom Kemoisa, right? So he looks me straight in the face and says, so what do you think? Does that make any sense to you? Shluch Shalom Kemoisa? You think that should be true or not be true? So I was like you don't ask, like what am I supposed to do with that piece of information? I had no idea. Like, I don't know what he wanted me to answer. So I just kind of looked there dumb or something, you know, and we... He said to me, so what do you think? Because I need a pasuk for shlichus, right? Sounds like I wouldn't have figured it out on my own, right? Right? That was it. That was the conversation. So, push the clock ahead 30 years. Okay? More than 30 years. His nephew, David Zemeshul. Okay? And his nephew, Rabbi Adler's nephew's son, was bar mitzvah. A couple of years ago, Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach just happens to be the mock for the dinner of Shlichus, Atem Gam Atem. And Rabbi Adler was there for Shabbos. And I was in the driver's seat because I was saying the drush and he was sitting and listening. So I started off my drush by saying, I want to continue a conversation that I had 35 years ago with somebody who confronted me as a 13-year-old and asked me, so tell me, what do you think? Does Shlichus make any sense? So let me try to answer that question. Where do I think Shlichus makes any sense? I gave everybody a drush about what the role of your shaliach, a previous generation, shlichus sayo, you know, gave a whole drush out of it. That's how I started. Man, did he get a laugh out of that one. He loved it. He was all smiles. Okay. So Rabbi Say, getting back to that story over here. So shlichus makes a lot of sense, maybe. If the apsukim it makes sense, we know it's true. There's a cloud called shlichus from Kamaisai. So comes the Gemara in Kedusha and asks, Ihochi, shlichus v'averin ami? If shlichus makes so much sense, either mismar or bipas, whatever the mocha for shlichus is, so how come it falls short by l'dva'aveira? How come ain't shlichus v'averin? So the Gemara works, and the Gemara works, and the Gemara works, and the Gemara says, no, it can't be. You can't have shlichus l'dva'aveira. You know why? Why can't you have shlichus l'dva'aveira? No, what's the reason? Come on, let's go, let's hear it. Come on. Divya Rav, Divya Talmud, Divya Mishaymin. This shliach is being told by the Rav, by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, don't do this. And Echmin the Talmud, I'm saying that. Don't listen to me. What's the shliach supposed to do? If you're a Rav, if you're a Talmud, if you're a Shemi, it's supposed to listen to the Rebbe, not to the Talmud. I quote this Gemara, it was one of my first Shabbosim in Bergenfield. And we had just started the shul, and Rabbi Shechter was in town for Shabbos, and he was speaking in another shul. So a few people were asking me, you know, should do. And they felt they wanted to hear Rabbi Shechter. On the other hand, you know, they felt the shul just started. They felt it would be not right. You know, walk on the rabbi in the second week of the business. So I quoted this Gemara. I said, "Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomer." I said, "You listen to me. I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Shechter. You have to go listen to the Rav. Don't come hear me." Fine. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So a little bit of a different context. So the Gemara says, "Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomer," and therefore ain't shlichus l'dva'aveira. So comes Tosus and analyzes this Gemara and says, "What does this mean? Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomer. It's true." But it's a classic example of true, but what? True, but irrelevant. It's true, the shaliach should not have listened to me. You're right, 100%. Right? Bad boy. He shouldn't have listened to me. He should listen to the Rabbeinu Shalom. How does that address the issue whether the shaliach is chal or not? I want to know, is there shaliach or no shaliach? I have exerced the class of shaliach. I've learned that from Truva, from Korban Pesach, from Gittin, from Kedushin. Whatever the mock of shaliach is, there's a din of shaliach from Kemaisai. What's what? Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, what are you doing? Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaymin. It's like when you're learning Musar Seder. So it's 5 to 10. You're learning Shari Tshuva. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud. What does that have to do with what you were learning in the morning? In the morning, I'm learning a halacha. The halacha is shaliach is chal. The shaliach is Kemaisai. What in the world does the Divrei Musar of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaymin have anything to do with the fact that shaliach is Nishkin shaliach? So Tosfos was very bothered with this kasha. So Tosfos explains to you exactly what's going on. Tosfos says, you know what the chisaron of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaymin is? You know what it is, says Tosfos? Shlichus presupposes there was a minui shlichus. Minui shlichus means I tell you to do something, but it's not enough for me to tell you to do it. What else is necessary for there to be a valid minui shlichus? There has to be a what? It's not enough for me to tell you to do it. What else has to exist? I have to what? I have to what? I have to expect that you're actually going to do it. There has to be a gemiras das mitam hamishaleach that the shlichus actually going to do what he's doing. If I appoint you as a shliach, but in my heart of hearts, I don't believe you're ever going to do it, this is nishkin shlichus, says Taisus. Shlichus means, you are representing me, I appointed you, I authorized you, and I believe you're going to do the job. If I don't think you're going to do the job, this is nishkin min shlichus, this is shlichus b'chol. Says Taisus, that's what's licked in this code phrase of divrei rav, divrei tam, divrei mishonim, is not the reason why there's no shlichus. This is not the Siva why there's no shlichus. What is it? The real reason why there's no shlichus is why? What's the emissary reason why there's no shlichus? Because the Mishaleach in his wildest dreams doesn't think what? That the guy's going to do it. If I appoint you to kill somebody, I don't think you're going to pull the trigger. Because I think that you're going to listen to the Rebbeinu Shalom. It would be nice if you listened to me, but I don't really believe it. In my heart of hearts, I don't believe it, says Taisus. And therefore, because Divrei Rav and Divrei Tam and Divrei Mishonim, therefore there's a chisaron of gemiras das mitzad b'sholeach, and therefore there's no shlichus. So Taisus just added a step to ein shlichus v'aveira. When you read the Gemara sounds like the reason is my time ein shlichus v'aveira because Divrei Rav and Divrei Tam. So Taisus says that my time it doesn't make any sense because that is not a reason. It's a nice piece of information. It's a fact in Divrei Musav, his Iris, but it is irrelevant to why the Shidduch should not be Shlichus. It is merely a way of coming to the real reason, and the real reason is because it's Chisor to the Das of Mishaleach. Who saw that Taisus? Everyone saw that line in Taisus? Who saw that line in Taisus? I just made it up? This is what becomes, huh? But the Bekam doesn't say it? I thought they said it. Because Taisus goes on to say, therefore, this whole sugya of ein shlichus v'aveira is going to break down when? When's it going to break down? What if, yes, it's a d'var aveira, but I do believe the guy's going to do it. Why do I believe the guy's going to do it? What makes me believe he's going to do it? Because what? He doesn't know it's an aveira altogether. So the real reason doesn't apply, because according to Taisus, Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam is a smokescreen for the real reason. It's just a way of getting to the real reason of there's a lack of Gemiras Das B'Tam Mishaleach. But if and when the Shalich is a Shoge, then the Taka is a Gemiras Das B'Tam Mishaleach, because there's no reason to think, I'm asking him to do me a favor. Of course, everyone's going to do with wife. I authorize him to do something. Of course he's going to listen to me. I it's an Aveira, but he doesn't know it's an Aveira. So Azav Taisus, whenever he doesn't know it's Aveira, Memela, I think he's going to listen. And Memela, the whole thing that undermined the Shlichus in the first place doesn't exist.
I mean, well, I kind of just want Taisus to say that the default is that Shlichus always applies, unless the star of Divrei Rav and Divrei Tam applies, and by a case where he's saying Divrei Rav and Divrei Tam doesn't apply.
I don't understand what the star of Divrei Tam means. I don't know what the words mean. I don't know what the words mean, Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Shem. I know what they translate, but I have no idea why that should undermine Shlichus. So comes Taisus and says this, Pemoli. Taisus and I in Testament Afim of a Kama. Three lines at the end of the Taisus. Taisus Divrei Masma Nasla Bechairis, right? First one in the line, third line from the bottom. The Hossam, Ein Yedeya Shashaliach Yavar. I don't really know he's going to do the Aveira. Aval Kan Yedeyu Shikach. Meach Yisav Shashaliach. That's what Taisus just said, right? Didn't I just say what Taisus just said? So why is he telling me? So why is he telling me a story that Kan Yodehu Sheikach?
There's no Divrei Rav that I'm saying.
I know that he's going to take it. What does that do with anything? Taisus is emphasizing my knowledge versus my lack of knowledge, right? Taisus is highlighting that contrast. My knowledge versus my lack of knowledge. So my knowledge, when I have knowledge, is going to do it, yeshlichus. When I'm lacking that knowledge, yeshlichus. This is quite an eye-opener in Taisus. This is real. This is mamash gem, this Taisus. Because Taisus created two things for us. First of all, he gave us a beer in Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, and it doesn't really mean what it's all cut out to mean. And number two, it puts the brakes on the klal of yeshlichus. You have to have Ruach HaKadosh, like the Bali Taisa, to say such a pshat. But even with all the Ruach HaKadosh in the world, you have to bring a raya to this pshat. You can't just say it. I mean, Taisa's whole raya is hinging on one little Mishnah in the Vakama and Tessa and Aleph that between you and me could go either way. Because don't forget, there's still what? There was another pshat in the Mishnah Nayin test. I mean, Taz didn't like it textually. Yeah, you know, I mean, for textual things, we're not going to create a brand new Yisoid. Sometimes we do, but not today. So Taz is not going to hinge their entire belief system of Enshalot Vavera on their pshat in the Mishnah Bava Kam Nayin test. Because I'll tell you, secret Rashi has another pshat. I'll tell you another secret, the Rambam has a legamri different pshat in that Mishnah. So that Mishnah is not going to make or break your understanding of Enshalot Vavera. It's nice, it fits in, everything is hunky-dory. But we want more rayas. We want more, something else to bolster this pshat of Taisus. So Taisus refers you to another sugya at Enshlichut Vavera, which really seems to drive home Taisus, as you said. Some of you were with us in Bava Metzia days. Who was with us back in Shlomo Echsin days? It's been a while. How many years is it? 3 years already. It's been a long time. Okay. So back in the first parak in Shlomo Echsin days, we also touched a little bit about Enshlichut Vavera. And the Gemara talked about it in the context of what? Who remembers? The context of the Kinyan Chotzer. We spoke about this earlier this year. There's a concept called Kinyan Chotzer. I put something into your backyard with the express interest of being machzeh to you. You have a mind to be kind. You're zeichah. And it finishes the Kinyan Chotzer. What's the mokah for Kinyan Chotzer? Vishtei in the Chumash Kinyan Chotzer. So one of the possibilities of the Bekaris of Kinyan Chotzer is two. The Gemara explains in Gittin why you need both, but one of the Makaris of Kinyan Chotzer is from Geneva. It says in Pashat Mishpatim, Im himatzei simatzei biyadei ha-Geneva, himatzei simatzei zepzariboy, a double loshon, kefa loshon, in the yada, gag, chatzev, kafif, imayin, tablam himatzei simatzei mikol mokom. So Katz, then the Rebbe Shalom dictated to my Shabbeinu when he gave him Pashat Mishpatim, there's a din called Kinyan Chotzer. So the Gemara has a possibility in the first Pech above Metzia that a whole institution of Chotzer is related to what other parasha in the Torah? Of Shliach. Just as I can be kind of something without actually picking you up, if you could do it on my behalf, so too my chotzer can be kind on my behalf, and it's almost like a shlichus. It's a very, very funny kind of shlichus. I mean, Limba Metzia, the first break, you really got to spend a lot of time. Hashem, we did. Well, enough time because it was the end of the year, if I'm mistaken. June's month, right. Oh, that's why three guys raised their hand. Okay, good. All right. Who was in the shir that year that we got to Jumla? So Vaisai, the Gemara presents the possibility that Chatzis Mishum Shlichus. Chatzis is all the same. One's an animate Shlichus, one's an inanimate Shlichus, it's all the same. So Frek the Gemara Kasha, what? Chatzis Mishum Shlichus? How can it work by Geneva? Ein Shlichus Vaveira. So what's the Gemara saying? Don't hack me a child with Ein Shlichus Vaveira. You know why? Chatzir is different. Chatzir is not subject to the rules of Ein Shlichus Vaveira. You know why? For two reasons. What are the two reasons the Gemara gives? Who remembers? What did I put on the Mamre Kamas, didn't I? And I put on the Mamre Kamas? One is the Chatzir is a lav bar chiyuva. The Chatzir doesn't have to listen to mitzvahs. Okay, it's not chayvim mitzvahs. My backyard is not chayvim mitzvahs. What's the other one? Right? Normally, a regular shaliach, a person, is he by avi by lo avi, he has bechir chavshis. The Chatzir, tzorach nishmali. He's going to listen to me under all circumstances. He doesn't have bechira to say, no, I refuse to pick up this item on behalf of you. No, not going to listen to you. So the Gemara says, for one of these two reasons, the question of Enshlichut Vavera doesn't bother us in the sugya of Chatz Mishum Shlichus. I ask you, Rabbi Say, what is pshat in these two factors? Once again, back to what we said before, when we highlight factors, the factors have to make sense, they have to be critical. Why did the Gemara say, no, don't ask me kashm in Enshlichut Vavera, because a chotzer is different, because a chotzer has mud in it. Because a chotzer has a chotzer has a tree growing in it. And a person doesn't have a tree growing on his head, and therefore it's not the same sugya. When the Gemara is highlighting differences, the differences have to make sense. Those differences are about as significant as the green shirt difference. Why are these important differences? Why is Labar Chiyuv and Tzach L'Shmolo? Why Tzach L'Shmoli? Why are these important factors? According to Taisus, what is this all? What message is this whole sugya telling us? Normally, the chisaron of Enshlichut Vavera is that the mishaleach doesn't really think the shliach is going to go through with the job. Neither of those that svara doesn't apply by chotzer for one of two. Number one, of course the chotzer is going to do the job. You know why? Because he has nothing to lose anyway. He doesn't have a list in Rabban Shalom. He's not a bar chiyuva. And number two, of course the chatz is going to listen to me because he doesn't have bechir choshes anyway. Of course he's going to listen to whatever I say. These two reasons of the Gemara seem to be highlighting the same yesod that the chi hagavna, yesh, gemirus, das, shel, hamishaleach, and memela, yesh, shliach, v'dvarveira, the chi hagavna. Whenever there is gemirus das of the mishaleach, the corollary is yesh v'dvarveira. If this is all true, they give me one other example of Yesh Gemirus Das from Shaleach Shlichus Vavera. Give me one more, but I say, what is it?
Shaleach is Shaleach.
But I say, this is Shittas HaTaisus. This is Shittas HaTaisus. So it took us about a half hour to develop Shittas HaTaisus. We developed it on many, many different fronts. We showed the problematic Mishnah and Daf Ayin Tesef Bava Kama. Why Tosfos had to come up with something, because they couldn't buy into Rashi's pshat, it was too difficult textually. So Tosfos had to come up with an alternate pshat. They had to explain logically the alternate pshat, so they had to go back to the drawing board of understanding what the chisaron of Yesh Lech Adva was in the first place. Once they highlighted what they thought the chisaron was, they were able to extrapolate and say, well, Shaliach B'Shoigeg doesn't meet those criteria. And to support that, they were able to show you Gemara, but see, that seems to also indicate this idea that everything is revolving around the Gemara's Das and Mishaleach. So we have a nice, beautiful Shir Klali, we have a, like, Havda, we have a nice essay, Tosfos came up with a theory, they're supporting it, bringing Raya's conclusion, a Gevaldik, you say. This would be a beautiful Sugya if we were interested in learning the Sugya of Yesh Lech Tvaver right now. But we're really interested in learning Sugya Staf Lama Gimel. Let's take everything we have and now go back to our Sugya. Based on this whole 45-minute presentation, this development of this theme of Tosfos, that whenever the Shaliach is a Shegeg, so then everything is great, and Yesh Lech Tvaver, very much so, what now falls flat? What Sugya falls flat on its face right now? What Sugya really matters to us? Ksuba Staf Lama Gimel. So I ask you, Rabbi Yisak, put yourself into the Beis Medrash of Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is working really hard on this braisa. We had this funny braisa with Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. We thought the pshat on the braisa was Kimli Ramanei they're arguing about. Rish Lakish says, Chalila v'chalila, that's not the pshat. And he rattles off a bunch of 55 Amoraim who didn't hold that way. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Abin, Rabbi Lov, V'chol Chavarasa Mishmeid, Rabbi Yechanan. Everybody said, B'tevecha de Acher. So Rish Lakish gets up, stands up, and he says, this braisa, don't mix in this braisa into Asugya. This braisa has nothing to do with Kimli D'Ramanei, because it's the Adei Shaliach. Leave me alone, says Rish Lakish. The braisa is talking about Adei Shaliach, and leave me alone, don't hack me a shana from Kimli D'Ramanei. And Rish Lakish sits down, grandiose presentation. He has 59 people supporting him, the Chol Chavarasa, and he sits down, he gave his pshat. Everyone else is sitting around, and everybody starts screaming at him. What? What did they start screaming? Ein Shlech D'Avera! What are you talking about? How can you say such a terrible kibbutz? Baruch Hashem for Gzeres HaKosos, that Rish Lakish was able to discover three Gzeres HaKosos, so his track could still stand. It's limping but standing. I don't understand the other people in the Beis Medrash. I don't understand the Amora and Ravina of Ashi. I don't understand the Gemara, the stomach of the Gemara that attacked Rish Lakish with such drama. V'chi matzino zeh chaytev zeh mischayev. What did the Gemara just say? Shlich is what? He's a shaggy. He doesn't know it's stolen. He doesn't know it's a shaggy. He's the same klutz the kind as trying to get the animal for pigeon. He's a shaggy. Why was the Gemara such a hit that they want to find psukim and we had to go read? Think up psukim and parashat mishpatim, start cutting up psukim and means this and tachas means this and a drush of this. They got what's the big deal? Once Tosfos already told us that Ein Shlichus V'Aveira is not as absolute ironclad rule as we thought it was. So what's the Gemara? How did it say China? Why did the Gemara get so to hits the Rish Lakish? That's Tosfos kasha. So we had to really understand Tosfos in order to appreciate the kasha. Why, notwithstanding their grandiose theme, remember Tosfos had Gemara's above Metzian, Gemara's above Akama, Gemara's in Kedushin, everything that was pointing in this direction, but now they fall flat on their face based on the Gemara Maseches Ksuba, Staf Lama Gimel. So comes Tosfos and says, What's their answer? Who saw the Taisa Baba Kama and Tess? What does Taisa say? So Frek Taisa, so Li'el Gabi Ganav Atofa Shabbos. Tosas is asking from Meruba, it's the exact same sugya appears in Meruba and in Subas. So Taisa is asking, it's the same question. The Muki Lobet Tavech and Deach Uparech V'chihech Matzir Zechol Yisrael Yisrael Have a Motzi L'meim at the Sobishu Shaloi. The Gemara could have answered that the Shochet thinks that it belongs to the Ganav. He's a Shegeg. Of Amashani Shapir V'ha'emes. What does Taisa say? What's Taisa's ultimate answer to this question? It's a bomb kasha. What's the answer? Three magic words. Inochinami. The Gemara could have said that. But if the Gemara would have said that, would have said, no, the Shalich's a Shegeg, we would have been missing a piece of halacha. We would never have found out. We never figured out what? That there happens to be a Gzeres HaKosov, believe it or not, that what? That Yesh Lezvaver by Tevech HaMoicher. It's true. The Gemara didn't say a piece of false information. The Gemara said a true information. And the reason why the Gemara took out the extra time to find the Psukim, to show you the Psukim, because the din is true. But in Ochinami, for the purposes of the Kasha of the Sugya, the Gemara could have said Shliach Shagig. And that would have also put everyone to rest. Rish Lakish could have survived by just saying Shliach Shagig, but the Gemara didn't want to say that because that would have been a Ziyaf HaTeira, would have been Yehari V'Yavar to say that. The Gemara had to give the emissary answer, the true answer, i.e., that it happens to be by Tevech HaMeichem that there's always Yishlich HaTvavish. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we're back in business, Taisus is back in business, Ein Tess is good, everything's good. The Bali of Taisus, they are relentless. They don't give up. The Bali of Taisus say, you know what? We still have a problem. What's the problem? It says Taisus is about Ktas Kosher. Kosher is not a Ktas Kosher. The Dunes are a Ktas Kosher and a Kosher. You know, they said over from Shlomo Hyman was one of the Rashivas in Baranovich. He was Magid Shia by Rabbi Chanan. Then he came to America in the 1920s, early 1930s, and he was a Magid Shia in Tarvidas. One of the Rashivas in Tarvidas for many, many years. So Shlomo Hyman used to say to him that you have to be Medayik when Rabbi Kivega gets the Kasha. So we're very, you know, we don't take the words of the Rishayim Lechwarim with too much seriousness. That's our problem. So, you know, Kiveg Lestikasha, Tzorchiyun. And sometimes we'll say Tzorchiyun Gadol. Sometimes we'll say Hashem Yar Einai. Sometimes we'll say Tema. So, Shlomo Hyman said that each Lashon of Kiveg was has a different nuance to it. A Tzorchiyun is not the same as a Tzorchiyun Gadol. A Tzorchiyun for Kiveg had a possibility of a Teret. Tzorchiyun Gadol is more. Hashem Yar Einai means that it was even more. You know, again, I don't remember what his darkness are. He has a hierarchy of Lashonis. Every time Rabbi Kivega didn't just rattle off, he was in a good mood one day, so he said, Tzorchiyun, Tzorchiyun Gadol, Shem Yor Einai Tema, you know, every kasha, there are dargas of kashas. I think he said over also, somebody said this, that's why sometimes you find that when the Ravid, he has kashas in the Rambam, so sometimes the Ravid will use very, very strong lashon. Sometimes not a strong Russian. So what's Pshat? So he said the Rabbi was saying Shir. So the Rabbi was talking to the Talmidim. So he's reading a Rambam and Shir. Like we do. Here's copy the Rambam. He's reading the Rambam. And he's saying his Ha'oriz on the Rambam. He has to get Kasha on the Rambam. So if the Rabbi wouldn't have formulated the Kasha with a certain degree of strength, that would have been a misrepresentation of the Sugya. It means if I would just say, Kasha loy makach, that's not emes to say kosh shalom akach. It has to be, you have to say, eev shalom akach. Dever hevel. You have to really, really, say it like the way it is. You have to dramatize it, because if you don't, so then you're not presented the sugya with emes. If it's a really shtark akasha, then you have to present it as a really shtark akasha. If it's not such a shtark akasha, so you got to present this. Otherwise, you're misrepresenting the degree of kasha. You're misrepresenting your amkas sugya. Just think about it. So when Taisus first was very, very bothered, right? Taisus was really bothered, and they kind of end up with a kuf, vak tas kasha. So tas kasha means that we're going to read the kasha, you know, Tesis wrote it. If they felt it was no kasha at all, they wouldn't have bothered writing it. You know, they didn't have that much ink to spare. So if they felt the necessity to write the kasha, they wrote the kasha. But we already know that we're not going to, you know, lose that much sleep. Maybe a few minutes of sleep, not a few hours of sleep. It's a tzas kasha. Tzas kasha, you got to spend maybe a day or two on. A real kasha, you got to spend the whole week on. So you got to know the kashas. You have to understand, appreciate the dagger of kasha. About tzas kasha, what's the tzas kasha, says Tesis? Tesis says the following kasha. Tesis says, you know, at the end of the day, what we just told you is all emes. Even if you work with the regular rules of Enshlach and Vavera, I could think of a way to have Shlich and Vavera by Dalvei. Before I discovered any drushes in Chazal, before any Xeris HaKosos, I could figure out Hocham HaYaskin, and before the Xeris HaKosos start to register. Hocham HaYaskin and the Shalich HaShegig. Now the Xeris HaKosos start to register, start to tell me that Yesh Lich Dover all the time. No matter what, Dalav Hei is one of the three big exceptions. Hopefully we'll talk about the others later on. It's an absolute exception to the rule. Belishim Sofk, it's an absolute exception to the rule. Give me a Mokar, the Gemara has three different Mokars. One Mokar is O. O is Xeris HaKosov, L'Rabo Shliach. That means when the Rabbeinu Shalom put that word in O, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what it means. O means L'Rabo Shliach. That is the purpose of the word O in the Chumash. What's the other drasha? Tachas. That is the reason why this word appears. The halachic reason why this word appears is to teach me this din, L'Rabo Shliach. So the Rabbeinu Shalom put it an extra word, so to speak, into the Chumash. Either the extra word O, the extra word Tachas. Tell me the opposite of Shalich. Different opinions what the extra word is, why you dash one, not the other, not for now. But there is a word written in the Torah extra for this specific purpose, the opposite of Shalich. Then there's the third Russia. What's the third Russia? A very soft Russia. What's the soft Russia? It says in the Chumash, Utuvacha Omecharo. Utuvacha Omecharo. Neither word is superfluous. Torah has to say both because it has to tell me the din of Tvicha Mechira. It happens to be that every Mechira takes two to tango. You need two people to create a Mechira. You can't sell to yourself. So just as Mechira means Ayde Shnayim, so too, you can have a Hechitimtza, it's possible to have a Tvicha Ayde Shnayim as well. How do you have a Tvicha? You don't have to have an Ayde Shnayim, but what's the only way in the world to envision a Tvicha Ayde Shnayim? So you have to think for yourself, wait a second, I have this Hekesh, so give me, what's the case of Tvicha Ayde Shnayim? I'm thinking, how do you have a Tvicha Ayde Shnayim? What's the answer? Ayde Shlichus. Ah, must be, it's happening from there. You see from here that there's a din of Shlichus from Kamaisai by Dalad Behem. This is the third one. There's a difference conceptually, fundamentally, between these types of drushes. The first two drushes are from Yisurim, from Ribuyim, from extra words in the Torah, that are Marbe Shlichus. The third, there's nothing written extra in the Torah. The Torah wrote the parasha of Shlichus in such a way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chachmasa put in this lashon derech Hakish to tell me Mazay Deshnayim, Mazay Deshnayim. But it's not really a drush. It's not an extra reboot. There's nothing, no extra dot, no extra ink put into the Sefer Torah to teach us the finishes there because that's just the way the Pesukim are. What's the difference between the nuances of drush? He comes to us and says, once I established for you that even in a world where Ein Shlichus V'Aveira, even not in the world of Xeris HaKosov, we're pre-Xeris HaKosov, we're pre-Matan Torah right now, before the world of Xeris HaKosov, let's live in the world of pre-Owen Tachas. Imagine there would be a din of Dal V'Hei and there's no Xeris HaKosov. What would the din be? Ein Shlichus V'Aveira. Except for where? Pre-Xeris HaKosov. There's no Shlichus V'Aveira by Dal V'Hei, except for when? When the Shlich is what? Is a shayi, because even though we're in the world of pre-Xeris HaKosos, but we're in post-Tosis Bavakam Defiant Test. I mean, Tosis Bavakam Defiant Test already showed you, to use some terminology we always like to use, there's a din kloli of Yesh Shlichus V'Aveira when the Shlich is a shayi. Nothing unique to Dal V'Hei, and Kol Torah Kula Yesh Shlichus V'Aveira. By regular Gineh, by other dinim in the Torah, there's a regular din of Yesh Shlichus V'Aveira when the Shlich is a shayi, because the reason of Divrei Talmud, Divrei Rav Talmud breaks down. So Tosis says, even without any Xeris HaKosos, I would have known for a fact that sometimes the Shlichus V'Aveira, i.e. the Shlichus Shegin. The point of the Xeris HaKosos is to tell me that even if the Shlichus is a what? Even the Shlichus Amazed, which would normally we'd plug in the rule of Ein Shlichus V'Aveira, this trumps Dalve trumps that din. That's the goal of these Gzeres HaKosos. That the Gzeres HaKosos by Dalve is, we're going to trump the otherwise normal application of Enshinuch of Dalve. That's the goal of the Gzeres HaKosos, right? So it says, ties that in. You want to tell me that the O trumps it? I understand. Because the Torah said, Ola Rabbis HaShliach. What's the case? Give me a case. Why did the Rebbe Shalom say, Ola Rabbis HaShliach? For what case? When the Shliach is a Shagik. I don't need an O for that. I figured that out because I learned Tosfos of a comment of Ayin Tes. I know that already. Tachas, the Rabbis HaShliach. I need a pasuk that's trumping something. What's a trumping? If the Shliach is a Shagik, I know that already. So obviously these two drushes are even in a situation where the Shliach is amazed. That's the Chiddush HaTorah. This third drush is not a drush. There's nothing trumping. There's nothing. There's no trump card here. There's nothing. The Torah just happened to write Tevacha Macharo, which teaches us kind of in passing that there's a hechatipta out there that Tvicha could require two people also. You can have a case of Tvicha day two people. So I'll give you the case. You know what the case is? Tell me the case. What's the case? What's the case when Tevacha Macharo? When the Shliach is a what? It's a Shogeg. When the Shliach is a Shogeg, the Torah is describing, it's not a Jerusha, it's not a Reboy, it's not a Yitz, it's not an extra word, not an extra letter. The Torah is describing there is a case that exists of Mamechira Deshnayim of Tvicha Deshnayim. Not every Tvicha Zay Deshnayim. 99% of the time, it's the same Ganav, he's the Shaykhid. He's doing everything his own. But there has to be some case on the radar screen where Tvicha could be done through two people. I'll tell you the case. You know what the case is? When the Shliach is a what? It's a Shaygeg, which fits in Flea into Bavakam the Fayin Test. So how in the world did Chazal figure out that even when the Shliach is amazed, that Dal Behei breaks the rules of Enshlech Dalaver. There's no drasha. There is no mokh. There is no source. Bishlam, according to the first two drashas, the O and the Tachas, there's an added drasha, the branch of Tomash Rabbein, an added piece of information to trump a pre-existing din of Shlichus. According to the third drasha, there is no trump. There's nothing added. There's nothing new. The Torah is just saying, don't create a scenario. Don't write me a Chesh Mishpat where it's impossible to have Tvicha Ayde Shnayim. So Zok Taisus, I'll find you a case of Tvicha Ayde Shnayim, which is perfectly good. Namely, when the Shliach is a what? When Shliach is a Shagig, which fits very nicely to Taisus Vayin Tes. So how did this third Mandi Amr Tvach HaMachar, how did he come to the realization that Dal Behei breaks the regular rules of Shliach Zavar Vera? That was Taisus Kasha. Everyone saw the Taisus? No one understood the Taisus Kasha? Who here understood Taisus Kasha? Who here now understands Taisus Kasha? Who here still doesn't understand Taisus Kasha? Okay, so I'll tell you the good news. The good news is only a Ktas Kasha, so I guess it wasn't that Kasha for most people. But if you take a look at this Taisus, so you see it clear from Taisus. Read it one more time. Taisus says, about Ktas Kasha, Hey Chitalef, how do we learn from this Drasha of Ma Mechir De'acha Tvichel Chulei? Duma, maybe that Pasuk is only talking about Dafka Shavashu Shaloi. Maybe that Pasuk is talking about in the case of the Shlich as a Shegeg. Kevin Shaleika Yisr. There is no Yisr. There's no extra Drasha. There's no extra word. So maybe this quote unquote Drasha, for lack of a better term, is talking about a case that we're already familiar with. Namely, let's connect the dots here. Wow, this is a long one. Okay, all the way here. Mamish from across the board here. Maybe this drasha of Tvacha Mochai Deshnayim is talking about when the Shlich is a Shagig. What right do we have to extend it when the Shlich is amazing? We have no reason to believe that Dalbe is any different than Kol Terakula. Bishlam, according to the first two drashas, so then we have every reason to believe it's different because that's why the Rebbe Shalom wrote Oatachas. But according to the third drasha, Rebbe Shalom didn't waste any extra ink. There was no extra ink written. There is no drasha. It's just that you have to find a case of Tvicha Al Yedei Shnayim. I found your case, but the Shlich is a Shagig, which fits in nicely. So Taisus Blight by Ktas Kasha. Who here didn't understand it before the last time and now understands it? Just trying to gauge whether I gained anything by that. Gained for one person, two people, three people, it's worth the world. Okay, good. Now, my side, when all the dust settles, Taisus sticks to their guns. Taisus was willing to stick to their guns because it fitted nicely into Bava Kama, it fitted nicely into the first Bechabah Betzia. It doesn't fit as smoothly into Ksubis. You know, it forced us to give one of those kind of inochinami kinds of terutzim, and it left us hanging, dangling with a little bit of Ktas Kasha. So it's not perfect, it's not glatt in our sugya, but it's glatt enough for Taisus to say it's probably correct anyway. So Taisus is, you know, left with hanging with the Ktas Kashas. They're willing to kind of do some, you know, a little fiddling around with Agamara. At the end of the day, they like this pshat, okay? They like the pshat of Shliach Shagig. That is the emes according to Tosfos. And it's all because they had a very unique way of understanding Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnah. Okay, everyone's with the Tosfos, so it took us an hour to read the Shittas of Tosfos, to understand, to appreciate the Tosfos in of themselves, and then to understand the relationship between the Shittas of Tosfos and our Sugya. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, so Sunday we're going to have a special schus of Rabbi Belzon, he's going to give a special Shia, okay, to be determined the time yet, we're still working on it. Okay, to be a time, okay, we'll figure out in terms of the time. Special Shia of Rabbi Belzon on Sunday. Everyone's, by the way, just in case we didn't tell anybody, every once in a while we have a special Shia, okay? So we have a special schus, we have a special market Shia, special assistant market Shia. So this Sunday will be the first of the special Shia. Mitzvah Hashem on, that means that everyone has to be here. Whoever's here on Sundays has to be here. Whoever's not here on Sundays also has to be here. So it's a regular Seder, regular Yeshiva on Sunday. And then Mitzvah Monday, so we will continue with the other Rishonim's understanding of both of Ash again in terms of Shlach Shagi, whole picture. We have a Chumash. As the minute gives us a little bit of Chumash. We'll do a drop of Chumash today.